Well, Jesus takes his disciples on a boat ride that's going to be remembered for 2,000 years. And we're still impacted by what happened that day. I don't know if you had any experience with boat rides that weren't too good. I did as a child. Didn't have the frightening winds talked about in the Bible here, but got really sick and really wanted everything to end as soon as possible. It was a terrible feeling. These guys were veteran fishermen, and yet the fright that was upon them. Years ago, there was a song called The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald that perished on Lake Superior, I think it was, one of the Great Lakes. And inland lakes get hammered by storms, sometimes more powerful than the ones on the ocean, more unexpected anyway. But Jesus tells the guys, let's go over to the other side of the lake. So just by saying that, he's saying, we're going to reach our destination. So they probably didn't hear that message in there, but that was a message Jesus said. Let's go to the other side of the lake. They were going to complete the trip together. The Lord could have sung, I am bound for the promised land. Who will come and go with me? And that's a great song about heaven. Bound for the promised land. So God tells us clearly in his word about our destination. I think he does it as a gift. No matter how bad life gets and how rough the boat ride gets or how small our faith is, God, who began a good work in us, is going to carry it to completion at the day of Christ, or when our journey is done, he will be there for us. That's Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. So perseverance is an attribute of God. You'll see perseverance from Jesus here for the disciples, and same perseverance for you and me. So when storms hit your life and you feel 100% out of control, the Lord's in the storm. He'll get you to the other side. God says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. That's an important promise in a world where we're not quite always sure about key relationships in our life, but the Lord can make faithfulness something we experience from him and something we're able to express toward other loved ones. Charles Spurgeon commented on this boat trip. He said he noticed that there were a lot of ships there, not just Jesus' one, but a lot of other boats. He said, not one ship of Jesus' fleet of ships will suffer ultimate shipwreck, for the great admiral will steer each one to safe haven. That's something that I think we want for our soul, to say, oh, he's going to take me to safe haven. And that's true for our lives. So Jesus says, let's go. All the guys get on the boat. The disciples are obeying Jesus at that point, and they expect smooth sailing. But here comes a storm without warning. And a violent wind of hurricane force. When Mark was writing this out, that intensity was in his words. Waves coming over the boat. And life-threatening and faith-threatening storm. Okay, all the guys had it. The disciples. Peter, James, and John, the strong ones, quiet ones. Andrew, Thomas, the quiet doubters. Everybody was flipping out. Here's the storm. We are in big trouble. And remember, they had obeyed Jesus getting in the boat. He said, let's go. We're getting in the boat. And so one thing to keep in mind, that when we obey God, there's no guarantee that storms and waves won't come into our lives. Sometimes they'll come because of obeying God. But they'll come one way or another. So you and I, we could be walking real close to God. We can be filled with God's Holy Spirit in our life on an everyday basis. But here comes a sudden storm, not expected. Here comes cancer. Here comes job loss. Here comes unexpected death, family problems, or prayers that aren't answered to our liking. Okay, those storms hit everybody. If Jesus ran a boat tour company, the sign would read, sail with Jesus, smooth sailing, not promised. Okay, so we should know that. But safe landing, guaranteed. And the disciples behave, I think, like we would behave. I thought, what's the nearest experience of a terrible storm on the sea that you and I might have experienced. Maybe you've been there if you're a sailor or fisherman or something like that, but if you ever have flown on an airplane and there's significant turbulence, your ability to control the plane and the pilot's ability to control the plane is not much at all. In fact, they try to fly above or below or around significant storms because they realize if they're going in, you may know how it feels if you're in the plane. You're sitting there and all of a sudden, boom. Okay, and there's no way to say, oh, let me just lean to the left and I'll be okay. It happens, boom, and the seatbelt sign's on. If your seatbelt's not on, you may go flying. People go in the aisle and so on. But that is what the disciples are experiencing. So they say, like you and I would say, oh, is God going to help me? Lord, don't you care? Don't you care? And I think it's a picture for us in a merciful sense of how we will behave in the storm. Pretty much everybody I've met, when they come up against a significant storm in life, has that prayer in some manner. Lord, are you going to help me? Or Lord, don't you care? And that's just the weakness of our human soul at that point. It's not something Jesus wakes up and says, you guys totally stink. I'm throwing you overboard till you learn your lesson. Okay. They're being human at that point. And the principle of mercy, I think we could see throughout the Bible in this for ourselves and for others. When you see somebody flipping out, or when you're flipping out in some manner, to remember, the disciples' knowledge of Jesus was not sufficient for their trouble. That's something to remember for our own souls. No matter how well we know the Lord, that knowledge is not going to be sufficient for the intensity of trouble that you and I will face. Okay, we'll feel overwhelmed, overmatched. The boat was swamped almost, and they were out of control. In fact, if we ever said to anybody or ourselves, with this problem in life or the problem that my friend's facing here, my knowledge of Jesus is imperfect and partial to understand completely what's happening, that would be a great relief to another person. Oh, you mean you don't have all the answers? Okay. If, in fact, of somebody who doesn't know Christ, if you said, my knowledge of Jesus is partial and it's imperfect until I get to heaven, they would probably say, wow, that's the first time a Christian ever said that to me. Ever. I might even be able to believe in the Lord who I can trust, but his followers don't necessarily have all the answers for all of life's difficulties. The Lord is perfect. He's sufficient. Our knowledge of him this side of heaven, partial. Okay. So when we think or pray, Lord, don't you care? We might be able to say at that point, we are a growing Christian. Okay. I'm just a growing Christian. Because I asked the Lord, Lord, are you going to help? I'm being a real disciple. And I think heard the analogy often, I'm sure, that do you want to sail with a sailor or a captain who never took anybody through a storm before? I called him the Old Spice guy. The Old Spice commercial. The fellow who has it all together and smells good and everything. You don't want to get on his boat because he's gone about 5 feet and then he came back. And but if a person's overwhelmed and broken and seen a lot of storms, those sailors, I think I could trust them because they have been through a storm. Jesus, of course, in the storm, not overwhelmed. But he wasn't he wasn't put off by the doubts and questions of the guys. If we don't admit at times that we have doubts and questions, we'll do one of two things. Just again, it's a point of mercy. I'm not encouraging doubt. Let's all go out and doubt and you'll feel a lot better. The doubt will come on its own. But it's just a chance to meet God in our, again, lack of perfect knowledge. Okay. If we don't admit our doubts and questions, we'll do one of two things. First, we'll say, all is well all the time. Okay, and then we'll just be pretending at that point and probably look a little weird to everybody around us. All is well all the time. And then the second thing we'll do when we don't want to really face our doubts and questions, we'll start to blame ourselves or others for our lack of faith. If I just had a little more faith, I would feel perfectly fine in this storm. I don't think the Lord expects that out of us, and we should not expect that out of ourselves or other believers for that matter. A hurricane is a hurricane, whether your faith is big or whether your faith is small. So the disciples, they fear they're not going to make it. They have perfectly turned to the Lord. Wake them up. He calms the storm. This is the Jesus who has created, 100,000 million galaxies. So he can handle the storm that really is an earth shaker for us. But he can take care of this, and he can take care of us. And he says to the disciples, "Do you still have no faith?" And they are terrified. Even after he calms the storm, they're terrified more of him than of the Lord. Of the storm. They're terrified of the Lord. So we want to be that way too. Say, well, I'm more defer to God than the storm even. More respectful and fearful of him than the terrible things that people do go through. But according to Jesus, the disciples have no faith. That's pretty rough. When God who knows everything says, you still have no faith? And they're confused about Jesus. But the good news in the passage is this. Here's a bunch of folks. Here we are. Let's say we're the disciples. We have no faith. We're a little bit confused about Jesus. And what does Jesus do? He rescues us anyway. He rescues them anyway. Okay. And one of the best things we could admit as people, besides our partial knowledge, is that we don't have control of this storm. And we don't have control of the Lord. And I wanted to show you a couple things about what we don't have control of in our life. This is from Timothy Keller commenting on life being essentially under God. He has a storm, he got the boat, he got the people, and he got the sea. And we got the prayer and the oar that probably doesn't work too well. But here's the things are out of our control. Our birth and our history, that we're born at this time of history and those types of things. And not in Afghanistan, but wherever you were born. That's not in your control. Not in control of the people who were born in Syria, Saudi Arabia, parts of Africa and Asia where they have no electricity, no car, and so on. Our parents, our family, our birth order, we did not have a choice in those things. God chose those folks for us. And they're all going to be sinners that we are born into. And so we can learn from their limitations and receive the love that is going to be imperfect, or we could yell at God for not giving us Ozzie and Harriet or somebody for our parents. That's that old parents from television. That's who they are. Birth order. If you're a firstborn, you're going to take on life a lot different than you would if you're further on down the line. It's just a natural thing. You're following whoever was before you. Probably. Genetic talents. Voice. We had some examples of that. Genetic talent. Musical ability, so on. Thank you, guys. And mechanical ability, those types of things. Talents are a blessing, whether you have a lot or just one. But really, in the Bible, character is more important to God than individual talents. Okay. You're not going to see that on television, like American character, Here we are. People are more impressed by talents generally, but really it's what God does in our character: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, The fruit of His Spirit is always more valued by the Lord than the talent He gives us, although that's certainly special. Emotional environment, intelligence, personality, and looks. Emotional environment is, if we grew up in a home where everybody yelled, we will yell or we will hide. Okay? If we grew up in a home where it was just forgiveness all over the place and mercy and we knew the boundaries, then we're going to be able to pass that on too. Of course, with intelligence, personality, and looks, the Lord did outstanding with this particular bunch. Right? I mean, He saved the best until you were born. You should feel that way. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You don't want to be, you know. Never mind. Okay. What else don't we have control of? Anything given to us by God. Thank you, Lord. We're glad for what you have given. There's nothing we have that we have not received. So that's really wonderful. And with it's out of our control, the storm, the trip, the Lord. Especially the Lord, which we're glad of. What is in our control, which we want to yield to God anyway, partially under our control is our enslaved will. I do that on purpose with that word in there. Taking it from Paul, tiger missionary, very effective disciple, saying in Romans 7, I want to do good, can't always do it. Don't want to do bad. Oh, I like to do bad sometimes. You know, that's what you call an enslaved will. Not 100% just free to do, oh, I'm 100% free to do great all the time. Well, Jesus was. I'm not sure we are this side of heaven. But He helps us make some good choices, namely to trust Christ or not trust Christ. And, of course, we need His help to trust Him. Faith comes by hearing the Word. He has to show Himself to us. Are you going to stop the storm or not? Who, even after we'll be confused about who he is. But the good news, please, in the passage is that the disciples make it through the storm and Jesus controls the storm. And they make it not because of their faith. They make it because of Jesus' faithfulness. Okay. They didn't have enough sense to at least turn to Him. So if your prayer life sometimes consists of, Lord, don't you care? I think we'll just all die here and that'll be okay. God would still be available to you. Don't beat yourself up or condemn others. Your day of strong faith will be given by the Lord anyway. And you'll thank Him. I can't believe it. I actually trusted Christ in that moment, you know. I mean, I was the biggest coward in town, and now I actually stood up for what was right. Your spouse looks at you and said, where did that come from? Well, I guess the Lord helped me out. So, remember, we get to heaven. We reach that other side by the grace of God. And it won't ultimately be the strength or size of our faith, but it'll be the faithfulness of our wonderful Lord. And I think when we catch a glimpse of that, oh, it's the strength of God coming through again, then we'll say, oh, now, I really can't trust Him. Don't understand Him. Still terrifies me. He actually stopped that whole storm. But I can trust the Lord. Could you trust Him for your soul? And the storms on the inside are always bigger than the storms on the outside. And the outside ones, again, when we are all freaking out, don't say, I guess they lost their faith or whatever. Jesus is still Jesus. He will give us sustaining grace. So lean on Him at His table and then know His strength for our present and future. Let's pray together.